And our guest in this part of the hotline is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Barry. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's great to have you here, and we missed talking with you on Thursday. I'm glad we could get it arranged to have you on today so that we don't miss our monthly installment of information from the Small Business Development Center.
Thank you.
So you've got a topic that maybe some people might think, well, this only applies to startups, having a good business plan. But you're saying that there's more to benefit from a good business plan than just startups.
Absolutely. I would say a strong business plan is truly your roadmap to success. And it's more than, like you said, it's more than just startups that need it. It's high growth companies that should have one. If you're a buyer who is seeking financing to purchase an existing business, you would certainly need one. But if you think of a business plan more as an operating plan, then it makes more sense as to why you would need to put one together if you haven't already, even if you've been in business for several years. There's the old saying that, you don't know. How do you know when how do you know when you've gotten to where you wanted to get to if you don't know, where you're going? So it has to do a lot with that. And so I thought we'd talk about not just who needs it, but like, why do they need it? What's part of a strong business plan, and then how you can put one together.
Yeah. How do you know, for example, let's say we know that startups need a business plan, but if you're running a business that's reasonably successful, how do you know whether you need to have one or whether you need to update your business plan?
If you have reached here's a really good way to tell. If you've reached a point where you are no longer growing and your sales have become stagnant or your profits have become stagnant, then that's a really good time to re-examine how you're operating and to put together a business plan, because part of a business plan is a strategy of going forward. And that strategy isn't meant to be just academic. It's not about just, students at the university putting together a business plan and then sitting it on a shelf somewhere. It's meant to be taken out just like any other strategic plan and utilized so that so that you're putting together some new marketing strategies, some new milestones, some new goals, and then stick to it.
So have you helped people with existing businesses go through this process, and what have you seen come out the other end?
Absolutely, we have. And what we end up getting is people that are broadening their markets. If they're looking to add a new product or service, a business plan is a great way to get started on doing that, because part of the business plan is, who is your target market? Do they need or want what you're thinking about offering to them as a new product or service? And then you put together some strategies on how you determine those things and some milestones along the way. And also, it has to do with labor and people and who you're going to hire and how's that going to affect your bottom line and the budget, So it the business plan is about all aspects of your business.
You mentioned hiring, and I don't want to take us down a rabbit trail or anything, but I've heard that the market, in some ways, the labor market is so tight that it can be difficult to fill some positions. Maybe you could give us just a little insight as to whether that's the case here in St. Joseph.
It is. It is definitely the case here in St. Joe and across the nation right now. Unemployment is at an all-time low, which is great for the economy. But if you are a business owner looking for employees, then it's a struggle. Yeah, especially if you're looking for a very specific skill set that might be even more, difficult to find or more rare out there. And so, that means a lot of times it's just the law of supply and demand. That means a lot of times that you would have to pay more for a typical employee than you would in the past because the supply is not there.
So if you're seeking financing in your business, that would have to really be something that would be covered, is how you would find or how would you hire or bring aboard the workforce you needed to do what you want to do in your expansion, and maybe a banker would want to see that.
They would definitely want to see that. One of the keys to a business plan is details, details, details. So if your expansion for your existing business does require that you add on labor, the question of where is that labor pool going to be found? How do you plan to acquire them? What's it going to cost you? You know, those questions have to be answered sufficiently, not just because you're wanting to get financing or expand, but because you need to know that as well in advance before you expand.
So is a business plan then, well, it's got the word plan in it, but but planning, it's actually becomes a planning tool.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a planning tool, and it should be used as a guide for the organization, just like an operating plan. You can call it that if it makes people feel less academic about it. You know, you could call it your operating plan. But it should communicate critically important factors and ideas to the management team and employees. So it is meant to be a living document that is shared with the people that make sense to share it with.
Okay, so this isn't something you just prepare for the person you're seeking to finance your business through. You could actually bring employees in on it, and so that they know where you're headed and what your goals are.
Absolutely. I'm a strong advocate of, you know, kind of a bottom-up approach instead of a top-down approach, meaning you should not only include them in communicating what the plan is, but before that, you should actually include your existing employees as part of putting together the plan. Having their ideas included in the plan, if it makes sense. And the reason I say that is because you get a lot more buy-in and increased morale from employees who feel like they have an actual say in what's going on. And then once you put the plan together and communicate that plan to the employees, then they know what the plan is. They know that, oh, well, the company is planning to grow by this much this year, and that's why we're doing this, this, and this. And it only makes sense in my mind that you would communicate that at all junctures of from the pre-planning stage to the putting the plan together stage, and then afterwards communicating the final plan as well.
You use the word morale in this, and especially in getting employees to have the buy-in. That's another great term.
Mm-hmm.
That really is important, right? To have a stake, feel like you have a stake in the business, and that it's more than just showing up.
It is, absolutely, because it's not. It shouldn't be just a job that you show up to. It should be something that you feel like you have, like you matter, that you're important in your industry and in your company. And if you think about it, if you're wanting to increase production, you know, on a production line or in the office or wherever that case, you know, wherever it may be, the people that are actually doing the work day to day, they are your subject matter experts. Those should be the people that you talk to about, hey, tell me, how can we make this better for you? You make it better for them, that also makes it better for the company. So, you know, they are the subject matter experts, and you should always consult with your experts.
So I can see where you would be sharing that business plan with your management team, your employees, and others. And if you're going after financing, what are some of the things that you'd need to have in your business plan to attract the financing you need?
Right. So we mentioned already that, you know, you have to show those details of the things that you're going to do. But one of the sections of a business plan is the marketing section. And so you need to talk about the marketing strategy. So who is your target market and how many of them are there in your area that you're targeting? What percentage of that market do you plan to acquire? And most importantly, how do you plan to do that? And that's where that business plan really comes in. It's not just about citing facts like, well, there are 5 million of these people in this country, and I plan to get 1% of that. Okay, great. How? You know, how do you plan to do that? That's really the key there. And then your how needs to match up with some type of realism, you know, like, well, I'm just going to do word of mouth and we're going to, you know, grow by $1 million. It's like, well, that's going to be really slow and that's not going to happen for a very long time. So as long as your plan goes along with that, that's great. But if your plan shows that you're going to increase, you know, 100,000, like you've been making $100,000 in profit and now you're going to double that and you're only going to do that by word of mouth, is that realistic? So it's really in those details of how you're going to do that with your marketing. And then things need to match up in your business plan as well. So if you say that we're going to utilize television and billboards and other media that you plan to pay for, But then when you look at the financial section of your business plan, it says you're only going to spend $500 a month on marketing. That doesn't match up. So it's things like that that people who are financing you are going to say, this doesn't seem to match. You know, something's wrong here. Either you got to change the wording that says we're really only going to do this, or change your financial budget that shows that the real numbers of what it would take to do the advertising that you're saying you're going to do.
Is this something that you can screen for when you're looking at somebody's potential business plan?
Yes, I read business plans every week without fail. I'm at least reading one a week, if not more. And that is one of the things that I look for is, hey, this doesn't match up, you know. And so, you know, then the financial section is probably the biggest. The financial section and the management section and the marketing section are the three sections that are really, really key to any strong business plan, whether you're doing financing or not. And the financial, and I can look at all of those, the whole business plan, but especially those three sections, and kind of pick them apart and say, this doesn't make sense, or you say you're going to do this, but the financials don't match that. So yes, I can look at that, review it, and let them know where the gaps are.
So you can help them make a stronger business plan before they actually get to that financing stage or the point where they want to disseminate the plan to the management team and the employees.
Yes, and what I always tell people is that you want to put your best foot forward. So whether that's with your employees or with the lending institution that you're going to, or with your boss, it depends on who you're putting the plan together for. But you still want to put your best foot forward, and so I can help make sure that that's what you're doing.
More with Rebecca just ahead. Rebecca Lobina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center is your guest, and we're talking about having a strong business plan and how this is kind of a roadmap to success. Now, you took us through what are some of the things that are in an excellent business plan, all the details that are important, and also the marketing strategy. What are some of the other things, like do you need to know who's going to be the operator of the business and then sort of oversee it and stuff like that?
Right, especially if you're looking to expand an existing business or if you're looking to purchase an existing business or even a startup. So any of those, you're going to really want to pay close attention to the management section of the business plan, because you need to know who's going to run the business if it's a new business, or operate, what kind of manager are you looking for if you're expanding your business. And so what is their background? How will you compensate if there's any gaps in knowledge or experience? So I'll give you an example. There's people that come to me who come to me and they're like, I want to run a restaurant, for example. But their background is in IT. You know, they've never, ever had anything to do with food service their entire life. Just one of those things that are like, you know, they're a grill master on the weekends. And they're like, I'm going to open a barbecue restaurant. It's like, well, that's all fine and dandy. But, you know, what kind of management expertise do you have that can translate over to the food industry? You need to explain that in detail. And if you don't have something that transfers over, then who is going to operate the business? Because it doesn't seem like it should be you, right? It shouldn't be that person. So those are the kind of gaps in knowledge or experience that lenders especially are going to take a hard look at and say, because you have to remember, they're giving you money. So other than whether or not it's going to make a profit, it's whether or not you can actually manage the business. Even if you get the money and you would make a profit, but if you're mismanaging it because you've never ran a restaurant before, it's not going to play out well. So
it might not last.
It might not last. And so not only just for the lenders, from the lender's point of view, is that important, but also from your own point of view. If you're the one looking to purchase a restaurant or start a restaurant, then you should be very much looking at, how am I going to run this? You know, what skill sets do I have? What skill sets do I not have? And how can I compensate for that?
Do you think that in some cases people just sort of have this idea in their head, you know, I'd like to be the owner of something like this, without really maybe having thought it all the way through in terms of what knowledge they bring to the table?
Absolutely, I do, especially if they're changing industries. And I can equate this to someone who is in college and they are picking a major, and that's the best way to put it is they're picking one. They really don't have any knowledge or history in a specific field, and they think that they will like this because they kind of like the information, you know, that they get about this industry. But then say you want to be a teacher, and then you go and you do your student teaching. Well, you've already done 3 years of school to be a teacher, and then you find out, I don't like being a teacher. Well, okay, it's a little late now. And so the same is true for someone who's going to open a business or purchase a business. If that's not an industry that you're familiar with and that you've worked in and that you know that you're going to enjoy, then, you know, get some experience in it. You know, work for that person for a while. And that's one of the things that they look for, that lenders will look for as well when you are transitioning. If you are purchasing a business, they want to see how that transition is going to play out. So you need to write the details of that, like the existing owner is going to stay on for 6 months, you know, while they train me to be the manager, or they're going to, you know, not stay on at all, and I'm going to hire a new manager that has XYZ experience.
Would the same rule hold true if, for example, you were thinking about buying a franchise? In which case, you know, you'd probably get some training from the company. Maybe not. I don't know. But is the same concern there? Do you need to have experience in that?
Yes, I would still argue that you do. The good thing about franchises is that they already have a lot of, well, all of their policies and procedures in writing. So you know, you can at least, if you can read and understand, right, reading for information. So if you can read, find the information, then you know how it's supposed to be done. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be skilled at doing it, especially right away. So I would still argue that you need some experience in that industry, even if it's a franchise. Yeah. Another thing you want to look for with a strong business plan is the location. The location should certainly be a consideration for many industries. It's not always important. You know, if you have a service that is, you're selling stuff online, well, obviously where you're located doesn't really matter. But if you have, say, a high-end salon, well, you don't want it to be in a non-high-end, you know, strip mall or something. You would want what you're doing to match where you're going. Another thing, it could be even the side of the street that you're on might matter. So, for example, if you are a coffee shop and you are wanting to open up in a high traffic area, so that makes sense, you also want to catch people on their way to work. Well, if everybody travels east and you're on the west side, you're not really catching the people going to work, even though you're right there in front of them. They would have to go up to the, you know, to the red light and take a U-turn and come back around. They're not doing that. They're going to do what's convenient. So sometimes as simple as which side of the street you're on actually makes a difference. And those are the things that you need to look at. Those details matter when you're looking at trying to be a successful business.
So are those things you can help point out to people when they come in with their prospective business plan?
Yes, absolutely. And when they come in, a lot of times they either haven't started a business plan or they have a very quickly thrown together one where they've just put together some bullet points and things like that. And that's fine. But we at the Small Business Development Center, we actually have a partnership with a national organization called Live Plan. Live Plan is a business plan software program that typically is a subscription that you would have to pay for as an individual. But as a Small Business Development Center client, you don't have to pay for that. So it's a free, so it becomes a free software that you're able to use, and it guides you through the entire process. And when you get to a point where you have questions, then that's where the live person like myself comes in and can actually answer those questions and help you.
So what number should they call?
They should call me directly at my office, which is inside the Chamber of Commerce at 816-364-4105.
Rebecca, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Barry.